Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've been in a series for the last couple weeks. I think we're going to wrap it up today, but you never know. We'll follow the Lord. But we've been in a series on tithes and offerings. Today I want to get more over into the offering portion of it. We talked about tithes primarily the last couple weeks, and I encourage you, if you missed any of those messages, to go online and re-listen to it. They're full of revelation, tremendous utterance we got from the Lord, and there's just great things in there. I think it'll bring new light to you. If you are a tither, there's some things you can get in faith about. If you've never tithed before, then now's the time to do it. Now's the time to tithe. Now's the time to just get yourself in obedience to God in that area, submitting yourself to His will with your finances so that He can do what He wants to do, which is prosper you. He wants to prosper you abundantly. But when we hold back our tithes, one of the things that we let go or release or let loose is the devil, the devourer. So we hold back our tithes and we let go the devil to devour our finances. And how does he do that? Well, the car broke down again. Well, this broke down. Well, this, you know, this happened. You know, just when you think you got a little money saved, next thing you know, something else happens. And it's just one thing after the other, and there seems to be more going out than coming in. It seems like we're putting money into bags that have holes in it. Huh? Anybody relate to anything like that? Well, that's what the devil will do. The Bible blames it on the devourer, who is the devil. We see it again here in Malachi chapter 3. Let's just go there. We're going to hit a few more things here on tithing, and then we're going to go over to offerings. It says here, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you?" Talking to God. "How have we robbed you?" And he says, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me." Now again, but curses don't come from God. Curses come from getting away from God. Because God is a blessing. That's who he is. He is in the blessing business. All good things come from him. Curses come when we get away from the blessing, when we get away from God, when we get out of his will, then we make the way for curses to come, which are of the devil. But there's no excuse for a child of God to be cursed. Why? Because the Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus became a curse for us when he hung on that tree so that you and I could be blessed and have no curses in our life. So all we got to do now is just get in faith and cooperate with God. Yield to the Holy Spirit, and what's going to happen? We're going to be blessed with no sorrow added to it. No curses anywhere in there. Curses aren't allowed in my home. Every once in a while, there'll be a knock at the door and it'll be a curse. It'll show up in some form or fashion, but I'll always approach it and tell it, "You have no place here. You have no place here. Christ has redeemed me from you, and I am submitted by faith to him. So you cannot come and curse my life. You can't touch me." And that's a great way to go through this life. Because how many know people are being touched by curses all the time? People, they don't know what's going to happen next. What evil thing is going to befall them next? People are in confusion. People have a lot of fear. They're anticipating problems ahead of them. But you and I don't have to go through life that way. You and I can go through life with joy and peace in believing, in trusting God. And so tithing is just a way of showing our trust in God. It's showing that we believe him. A lot of people can say, "I believe him and I trust him." But like the old saying goes, you got to put your money where your mouth is. If you're not willing to give of tithe, your tithe to the Lord, then how much do you really trust him? Right? And again, the word tithe means tenth. So we're to tithe all our income, anything that comes in. That's income into our life, anything that would increase us, we are to give a tenth of that to the Lord. When we do that, we're simply saying, my life, my finances are consecrated, set apart for the Lord. So if they belong to Jesus, The devil can't touch him. Right? The devil can't touch. Say the devil can't touch this. Yeah, and it's a beautiful place to live your life. It's a wonderful blessing. Praise God. And so he goes on in verse 10. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Talking about the house of God. In fact, that word storehouse there, which is one of the things I wanted to share with you, when you look up the word storehouse in the Hebrew, it means treasure or treasure house or treasury. God's house is a treasure house. I like that. Of course, there's the treasury, but it's a treasure house. How many of you know God's house is full of treasure? We're sitting in treasure this morning. We found a hidden treasure here at Life of Faith Bible Church. We found it. It's right here. Praise God. And when we lay hold of the spiritual treasure that is here in God's house, it's going to affect us financially. It's going to affect us materially. It's going to affect us physically. Because every physical, natural, material blessing starts in the spirit, because everything has its origin in the spirit. Everything comes from the unseen first. So if we know that we're in the place of spiritual treasure, then we know that we're going to see financial, physical, natural treasures manifest in our life. Because we're in it. We're in it. We're a part of it. We're doers of it. Verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes into the treasure house, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And here's what we were just talking about, verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Now remember, the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. And the Bible talks about sowing in the area of finances. That when we give an offering to the Lord, when we sow finances to the Lord, that we can expect a harvest on that. The Bible says, give, Jesus said, give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, overflowing. Well, that's how it is in the natural with a seed, right? You take one seed and you sow it into the ground, and then that can produce a whole abundance of whatever it is that you sowed. You sowed one seed and you receive an abundance back of what you sowed. He said that principle is the same spiritually. He says if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. That's over in 2 Corinthians, and in its context, it's talking about finances. How you sow is how you're going to reap. So there's some fruit from our ground that you and I are to be reaping. Right? These people, they've given generously, they've given offerings, but they're not seeing the fruit of what they've been giving. They're not seeing that return that Jesus promised coming back to them. Well, look right here. He says in verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So the devil, even though we sow and we are to expect a harvest on that, the devourer can get in there and destroy that harvest if we're not tithing. But if we're tithing, that shuts off the devourer. It cuts him off. It keeps him out of your harvest field. So we can start seeing the fruit of what we've been sowing. Isn't that good news? Praise God. She says, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So the Bible's letting us know that when we don't tithe, we're undermining the other offerings that we're giving. Well, we don't want to undermine what we're giving. We want to protect what we're giving. We want to protect the seeds that we've sown. And so tithing gives you protection, divine protection on your harvest. Praise God. Now, when it comes to offerings, because remember he says, Whereas you rob me in tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. So there's tithing, and then there's bringing offerings to the Lord. Now, when we look over here at the Old Testament, and we look at all the offerings, and I'm telling you, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, of course, talks about offerings, but the Old Testament is just big on offerings. I mean, almost the whole book of Leviticus, it just deals with offerings, offerings. But you go through all the books of the Old Testament, offerings are in there, offerings in there. So it has to be a pretty big deal. I mean, if we're going to teach the Bible, then we're going to have to teach on offerings, right? Because it makes up a big portion of the Word of God, of the Bible. So we need to understand offerings. Now, a lot of times, when we look at offerings, different sacrifices that people bring to the Lord, they'd bring it, you know, first they brought it to this tabernacle that God had Moses set up in the wilderness. And then after that, they built a temple. Remember Solomon, he built this gorgeous, this temple. And again, sacrifices and offerings were to be brought into this place of worship. And then there are also other places where people could go and worship God that God allowed and permitted. And again, people would bring offerings. And many times when you think about the offerings of the Old Testament, you think of atonement. You think of a type of what Jesus did for us when he came 2,000 years ago. There were all these sacrifices and all these offerings, and all these offerings represented the one that would come and die for our sins, the one that would come and redeem us back to God, buy us back to God, so that we can be born again, be filled with life, filled with the Spirit of God. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? And so we look at the Old Testament, we think of offerings, we look at these sacrifices and all these things people bringing to the Lord, we think, well, that was for then, that was really for that time, because Jesus hadn't come yet. And so they needed to do those things to cover their sins. That was the way they dealt with their sins back then. They had to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, present all these different offerings. It wasn't just animals. I mean, there was money, there was gold, there was silver, there was food, there was all kinds, you know, like grain offerings. There was all kinds of different things, incense, different things that they brought as offerings to the Lord. And many times we would look at that and think, well, that is for sin. That was because they were under the old covenant and they needed to do that to cover their sins. But that's not the only reason why people brought offerings to the Lord. It wasn't always because of sin. Now, thank God you and I don't have to slaughter an animal, pour out its blood, and bring that to the altar to cover our sins. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless man, he came and had his perfect blood poured out as a sacrifice for you and I to pay our debts, to pay for our sin, to wash us clean from all guilt, all condemnation, and make us right in the sight of God. We're not just, our sins are not just covered. Glory to God. We've been cleansed. We've been washed. We've been made new again by the power of the Holy Spirit. What we have under the new covenant is much greater than what they had under the old covenant. Much, much, much greater. So thank God we don't have to pour blood in a basin and do all these things to take care of sin. Sin is done away with. Sin is taken care of. But we still are to bring offerings to the Lord. And there's a lot of reasons why people would bring offerings to the Lord. And what the Lord directed me to is 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Why don't you go there with me this morning? 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. King David was a man who had a heart after God, just loved the Lord. And now he's been given instructions to get things ready for his son Solomon to be able to build this great temple for God. And so he does. He does a lot of things to prepare for this great temple that's going to be built. It says here in verse 1, "Furthermore, King David said to all the congregation, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God.'" That's interesting, isn't it? They built this temple, and people would come to it, and they would worship God there. They would bring their sacrifices for sin and their other offerings to the Lord. They would come to his temple to do these things. So you would think this is a place that was built for God's people. But yet, he says, no, the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. It's not for man, it's for the Lord. And I believe it's the same way with church. Church is not for man, it's for the Lord. We are coming here to know him, to learn of his will, to learn his ways, huh? To know him, to become more pleasing to him, to worship him, to minister to him, to bring tithes to him, offerings to him, to honor him. This is a meeting place for God and his people. This house is for him. God gets glory in his house. He gets glory when we come to church. We're giving him glory, right? We were just praising him, magnifying him. Now we're giving him our attention. That's honoring him. That's giving him glory. We're giving him our attention this morning. We've shoved everything aside, and we want to hear from God this morning. We want to hear his word be spoken to us, right? It's all for him. It's all ministering to him and to bring pleasure to him. Praise God. And so if it's for God, then it's got to be good. Right? Because God deserves the best. He deserves the best. So we want to give him our best. We want to do the best for him. That's what David is saying here concerning the temple. He goes on, verse 2. "Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might." Notice that statement. "I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance." So notice, he gathers all these things because all these things are needed for God's temple, for God's house to be built and done with excellence. And so it says, "I've done this, I've prepared all these things with all my might." Man, there's nothing passive in that, is there? With all my might. He put all his energies into getting things together to make God's house great. This wasn't just a little additional thing that was added to his very busy life. It was the main thing for David. David had a busy life. I mean, he's the president, the king of this country. He's got to oversee military, all these different government departments and so forth. He's got, plus his own personal life, he's got a lot going on. He's got several wives he's got to keep happy. He's got a lot going on. And yet, he says, with all his might, he's prepared these things for the house of God. Another translation, the New English Translation, says, "So I have made every effort to provide what is needed for the temple of my God." We want to give God all our effort, all our might when it comes to serving him and giving to him. So offerings are to be taken very serious. Offerings are to be treated as important. Right? All my might, every effort. It's all about what he's bringing, what he's doing to bring to the house of God, to prepare for the building of this great work of God. And it's important to him. It needs to be important to you and I. When we bring our offerings to the Lord, it's only going to mean as much to the Lord as it means to us. If we're just kind of tossing something in there, just doing something just because we feel like we have to do it, it's a side thing, and we don't put much prayer to it, much thought to it, much worship into it, and we just kind of do it as like a little additional thing we need to do here when we come to church. If we have that kind of attitude, then that's how God receives it, because he's looking at our heart. So we want to stir our hearts up. We want to stir our hearts up and not just do something legalistically, not just do something because we feel like we have to do it, but we want to do it with all our might, with all our heart. That's how we want to bring an offering to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Then verse 3, it says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." Notice again verse 3. "Because I have set my affection on the house of my God." The word affection means to delight in. To delight in. To cling to. Because I delight in God's house. I delight in God's things. One of the reasons why you delight in God's house is because you delight in his word. Because that's what we do primarily. We hear his word. Isn't that right? And then his presence. You delight in his presence. You delight in him. Our offering is a way we can express our affection to the Lord. Again, it's not just for sin. Not just because of sin. It's to show our affection to the Lord. He says, "Because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of God. Of my God." And this was something that he did by his own choosing. This wasn't something he was told to do. And he was told to build the temple, and there were some things he needed to do there, but this was over and above that. And he reached into his own personal treasure to be able to bring something of importance to him, to the Lord, to honor God. And remember what Jesus said. He said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. We can see where David's heart is by where his treasure is. He brought it into the house of God. Verse 4, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and all kinds of work to be done by the hands of the craftsmen, who then, so now he's done this himself, and then he says to the congregation, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" And what's he talking about? He's talking, who else is going to get in on this and reach into their treasures and bring it to the house of God? And he calls that consecration. Consecration. So offerings are a way to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. How consecrated are you? How consecrated do you want to be? And again, what does it mean to be consecrated? Set apart. Set apart unto him. When a person gets born again, they believe on Jesus, their spirit is set apart for God. We are baptized into Christ. We're set apart for him. But then there's still our soul, our mind, our bodies, and the things that we enjoy, the material things of this world, our property, our treasures. And he says, when we bring of our treasures to the Lord, as an offering, we are consecrating ourselves more deeply to him. We are consecrating all that we are and all that we have to him. We're giving ourselves more to him. How people can give themselves a little bit more to God. How people want to go a little bit further into God. You know, you only get out of God what you put in. Right? What you put in, you say about anything in life, what you put in is what you get out. What you put into your relationships is what you're going to get out of it. What you put into your work is what you're going to get out of it. What we put into God
That's what we're going to get out of it. If we put all ourselves into God, oh, we're going to get all of God on ourselves. Hallelujah. I want more of God on my life. I want more of him manifested in my life. Praise God. The Revised Standard Version says, who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Who will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then verse 6, he says, then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. How many want to be a leader in the things of God? Take the lead in life. You know, God wants you to take the lead in life. He wants you to be a leader. And in order for you to be a leader in the things of God, a leader in spiritual things, you got to be a giver. Because that's where it starts. It starts with our treasure. It starts in our giving. Giving. So we'll only be a good leader to the degree that we're a good giver. A good giver. So we want to grow in that. So again, offerings are a way to get out in front and help lead people God's way. I want to lead people God's way. Well, people that hold back their finances aren't very good at that. Why? Because it's a heart issue, isn't it? It's a heart issue. Now, there's a lot of folks out there, and they got Bible studies, and they got all kinds of things going on, and I'm not really talking about here at this church, but just generally in the body of Christ. And, you know, and you meet some of these folks, and you think, my Lord, you know, I mean, they're sleeping with other people, and that they're not married to, and they got all kinds of stuff going on, and you think, and they got a Bible study going on. A lot of people come to their Bible study. I think, what in the world? How are you leading people? Well, you are leading them, but you're misleading them. You're misleading them because your heart is not right with God. So if we're going to grow up into leaders in the kingdom of God, that doesn't mean necessarily everybody's getting up on the podium, right? If everybody ended up on the podium, then it would look kind of strange in here. But we are to lead in life, wherever we are in life, wherever God places us in life, we need to lead people up, lead people into the things of God. Well, for that to be so about us, then we got to be good givers. And so offerings, again, are another way of getting out in front, leading God's people. Verse 7, they gave for the work of the house of God, these are all the leaders, 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. My margin adds all that up and says 3,840 billion. Wow. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Verse 8. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Hallelujah. Good man. He's hearing the word of God. Praise. You know, this whole thing's in the word of God because this thing affected God. This thing affected him, and he said, write it down, and write down the Gershonite, write down his name, Jehiel. It's all written here. This meant a big deal to God. He saw all this. He saw how abundantly these people poured out their hearts to God. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. I love that word willingly there. Willingly. No one put a gun to their head. Nobody forced them. And nobody's going to force you. Nobody's pressuring you. Nobody's pushing you to do anything. It wouldn't mean anything to God anyway if we just did things because we felt that we had to do it. God wants us to want to do it. Want to do it. Over in the book of Isaiah, he says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. God doesn't want just obedience. He wants willingness. He wants us to want to. He wants us to want to bring offerings to him. He wants us to want to give him more. You say, man, you know, we're sitting there today and we should be getting stirred up. Make sure our hearts, our minds are going in the right direction. That we're not pulling back going, this mean I got to give more? We shouldn't be thinking like that. We got to rebuke that kind of thinking in our mind, not accept that from the devil. And we need to allow this word to stir ourselves up to say, man, I want to give more. I want to do more. Praise God. God, prosper me more so I can do more. I want to be able to bring more. I want to be a part of these leaders, these people that are pouring out their affection to you and consecrating themselves to you and showing their loyalty, their love for you through their offering. I want to be a part of that. I want to be like that. I want to do that. And of course, we start where we're at. We don't wait until we've got $1 billion, $1 million, or whatever. We don't wait until we're just loaded and then we can bring out, yes, Lord, you load me up and I'll bring the money to your house. Well, no, Jesus said, if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful with the much. What you do with the little, you're going to do with the much. And so if you're not faithful in the little, you're not going to do it with the much. See? So it starts where we are. It starts right where we are right now. And we need to show God a heart of willingness to say, I want to be a giver. I don't want money controlling me. I control money. Money comes to me. And I can bring it to the Lord without fear, without doubting, without worrying. I can bring it to God, knowing that God provides for me. Hallelujah. So again, verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. So we see offerings will raise your praise and cause you to rejoice. You'll get more excited about God. I'm telling you, as you become a giver, as you become a giver and you bring an offering to the Lord, it gets you excited. Hallelujah. You know, there's been folks, they've reached in, they've brought a big offering to the Lord, and they didn't have this face on like, did I just do that? Whenever someone's done that, you always see them walking around with a glow on their face. You know, they look like a possum. They just got this smile imprinted on their face, and it makes you feel good. Man, I was able to give that to the Lord. So an offering will affect your praise. It'll affect your rejoicing. Because again, the people rejoiced because they had offered willingly. There was a reason why they rejoiced, like they rejoiced. It was because of something. It was because of their offering that they had given. They had given so abundantly, so freely. Verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Really, that's the key right there to being able to grow in your faith to give. If you want to grow in your faith to give and become a greater giver, bringing greater offerings to the Lord, you got to know this right here. You got to know what David knew. He said, all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. That's mine. Well, all is yours. All good things come from you. So I ain't going to hurt myself by bringing all that I have to you when I know that all that I have is from you because all things are yours. See, when you understand that God is the source of all you have or all you'll ever have and not your hard work, as long as you think it's your hard work and your savings and what you've done to be able to have this money, it's going to be hard to give. It's going to be hard to give, you poor little thing. You got to... You got to work so hard. You got to work so hard to get ends meet met. Oh, you poor little thing. That's going to be hard to give. See? But if we can get out of that mentality and get this mentality right here and say, all things in heaven and in earth are yours. It's yours. Praise God. And so I know, Lord, what I have, really, it all has come from you. It all comes from you. And as I give it back to you, you said it's going to come back to me. You're going to take care. You're the one taking care of me. I'm so glad I'm not out here trying to take care of myself. He does so much better of a job at taking care of me than me taking care of me. Trust me on that one. And he'll do so much better of a job taking care of you than you having to take care of you.
I've got this whole family to take care of. No.
God will take care of them. Why don't you just enjoy the ride? Just do what he tells you to do. Be responsible. Do what he tells you to do and enjoy the ride. He's the one that's going to get it done. He's the one that's going to prosper you and make it happen. Verse 12, he's praising, he's rejoicing. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Praise God. What's he doing? He's emphasizing what is in God's hand, not what's in his hand. He's emphasizing all that's in God's hand. Instead of going, look at all that I brought. Look at all that I'm doing. Look at all that I got in my hand. Instead of emphasizing that, he's saying, oh, look what's in your hand. As he brings his offering. How many people know God's got a whole lot more in his hand you'll ever have in your hand? And that's exciting because it's his hands that take care of you. And his hands are loaded. I'm glad I serve a God whose hands are loaded. I'm glad I'm not serving a God who's like, I'm sorry, we're all out for the month. Come back to heaven's gate next month. No, thank God. Thank God. Verse 13, now therefore our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Offerings are a way of giving thanks to the Lord. Verse 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. That's more of what we've already touched on. But notice this. He says, who are we that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? In other words, he's recognizing even the ability to be able to be generous and to give doesn't originate with man. Even that desire and that ability to do that is all part of the grace of God. It takes God's grace to be a big giver. Faith comes from him. Grace comes from him. Right? Faith comes by hearing his word, listening to him. Spirit of faith comes, gives us faith in his grace. His grace is his strength, his ability. And God is a generous God. He's a generous God. Remember, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I mean, he gave everything he had, poured out his blood for us. God's a giver, big giver, very generous. So we become bigger givers as we, through faith, are partakers of the grace of God. As we partake more of the grace of God in our life, then we are being supplied with the strength, the ability to be able to give generously. It takes grace to do it. Teaches us that over here in the New Testament, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 7, but as you abound in everything, that's overflow. Just overflow. You just overflow in everything. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us. See that you abound in this grace also. What grace is he talking about? Well, you'd have to read it in its context. In its context, he's talking about the grace of giving. The grace of giving. Because verse 9, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Notice, Jesus did what he did by the grace of God. He had grace. Jesus Christ had grace from God to give his life as a sacrifice, as an offering for our sins, for us. He says, you know the grace of God. This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the grace that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he for your sake became poor. He gave everything. He gave everything. Was stripped and nailed to a cross. Gave it all. Didn't lose it. Didn't lose his life. Didn't lose everything. He gave it. We'll stop losing things in life if we'll start giving things in life more generously. As we grow in our giving, praise God, we'll stop losing. And then we'll just look and go, praise God, it was an offer. I give that. I give that. I didn't lose a thing. When you bring an offering to the Lord, you're not losing a thing. You're not losing anything. You're giving. You're giving something, and it becomes an investment that can be returned to us. So he says, Jesus did this. He became poor. Now watch this. That you through his poverty might become what? Rich. Huh? Rich. I can't hear everybody. Don't you all want to say it? Rich. Well, it's spiritual riches. Well, how do you get that? You just say that? You just throw that out there? Who says it's spiritual riches? Well, because it is. Well, no, you got to read it in its context. He's talking about offerings, financial giving. That's what he's talking about. And he says, Jesus became poor that you might be made rich. And in its context, it's all about money. So these folks, they run around and try to spiritualize everything. I'm not sure why they want to do it. And I do know why. It has a lot to do with what they're yielding to. But we won't get over onto that right now. But the good news is, Jesus became poor that you could be rich. Jesus became poor that you could be rich. Hallelujah. That's what his will is for your life. Well, he don't want everybody rich. Who says? Who says? Well, a lot of folks aren't rich. Well, that don't mean it's Jesus' will they're not rich. Right? See, we got to renew our minds. Sometimes, oh, it sounds so covetous. It sounds so materialistic. No, it sounds so Bible. It sounds so the heart of God. It's funny how we can sit here and talk about heaven and get up here and say the streets are paved with gold and we got these big pearly gates. Oh, it's glorious. There's not going to be any lack. In fact, every one of us is going to get a mansion. Oh, we all shout. We all believe that. Then they turn around and they'll say, but over on this side of heaven. It's a lie full of lack. And struggling. We're not going to be rich in this life. That's for when we get to heaven. Well, Jesus said to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, that's what he prayed. That's what he prayed. They're rich in heaven. They're rich in heaven. They're rich in heaven. Are they rich in heaven? It's okay to say they're rich in heaven, isn't it? So then it's not a curse to say we are to be rich on earth. Now, my focus isn't on money, and your focus shouldn't be on money. Our focus is on him. We want to serve God, love God, worship God, be able to give more to God, be able to lead the way, lead people to God. That's what I'm all about. Well, praise God, the more rich we are, the more we can do. The more we can do for God, the more of a blessing we can be. I want to be an abundant blessing. Well, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully and you'll be a bountiful blessing. That's the Bible. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So, I want to read verse 7 in the Amplified Bible. It says, but just as you excel in everything and lead the way in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in genuine concern, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work of giving also. See that you excel in this gracious work of giving also. So again, the grace of giving. See that you abound in this grace also. So that's what David's talking about here, back in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles. He's saying that as you give, as you release your faith more, then you open yourself up more to the ability, strength of God. You open yourself up to more of the grace of God in your life so that you can abound in generosity to others and just being a bountifully generous person. And again, the more generous you are, the more rejoicing, the more happy you are. Listen, if you're dealing with depression, the next time you start dealing with depression, do not reach for a pill. Reach for an envelope. Right? Why take a pill when you can bring an offering to the Lord that slaps the devil upside the head and puts a smile on your face? Why do people get depressed? They get all introverted. That's depression. The root of that is the devil's behind it. But the root of it is you get all introverted. You get all into yourself. Well, what does giving do? Gets you out of yourself. Gets you out of yourself and causes you to reach out to others, to be a help to others, to be a blessing to others. Amen. So, offerings tap into the grace of God. Verse 15. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. So our earthly life apart from God is a hopeless life. But notice what he's saying here. We are aliens and pilgrims. This is all connected to his bringing this bountiful offering to the Lord. He's praising God. He's talking to God about the offering. And in his praise, look at what he's saying here. He's saying we are aliens and pilgrims before you. The Bible tells us over in the book of Peter that you and I are to be sojourners and pilgrims here on the earth. We're passing through this place. In other words, what? We're not living for this place. We're living for another place, for a city whose builder and maker is God, right? Our hope isn't in the earth. Our hope is in the Lord. And as we bring an offering to the Lord, that's what we are saying. We're saying that our hope is in the Lord. Our offerings show that we're not putting our hope in this world. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. So again, with the offering, we're saying, all that I have is from God. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. Offering, our offerings, offering willingly keeps your heart upright in the sight of God. Offering willingly keeps your heart upright in the sight of God. You know, you're not going to backslide if you're a generous giver. It's going to help keep your heart right. If you stay in that giving mode, you're staying in the God mode, you're tapping into the grace of God, it's going to affect your heart, help you to remain upright. Verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart towards you. Let me read that from the New Living Translation. O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. See that they always want to obey you and their love for you never changes. Remember, Jesus said that the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil. You can love money. A lot of people love money. They don't have a lot of it, but they still love it anyhow. They'd love to have a lot just for the sake of having it because they love money. We're not to love money. We're to love the Lord. So when we're bringing our money to him, it's protecting our heart from the love of money that so many people are bound in. They're so bound with that love of money. But man, as you continue to grow in your generosity, growing in your giving and bringing your offerings to the Lord with all your heart, it's protecting your heart. It's keeping your heart steadfast towards the Lord. Verse 19. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I made provision. So notice it's all about God's house. Offerings help build God's house. It's another reason why we bring offerings. It's to help build God's house. Verse 20. Then David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. So all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. Offerings, worship, and bless the Lord. We're talking about different reasons why we bring offerings. It's not just for the forgiveness of sins. We bring offerings for all these many different reasons. One of them is it's a way we worship God. It's a way we worship him. Verse 21, and they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day. And 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So, I mean, a lot of blood's being poured out and there's all these sacrifices going on, but none of it is for the forgiveness of sin. None of it's for the forgiveness of sins. It is to worship God. It's to worship him and to praise him. Verse 22. So they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness on that day. He had given thousands of animals and this big offering. It says, and they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness on that day. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time and anointed him before the Lord to be the leader and Zadok to be the priest. Notice that. As they had given these offerings, it says they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness. This is a time of renewal. This is a time of refreshing. This is a time of revival in the nation of Israel. And like I've said before, if we're going to see revival, there's going to be a revival in the area of giving first. Before we see national revival and we see this great move of God and the windows and the doors and everything being opened in heaven and we're seeing the power of God and great manifestation, before all that comes, there comes offerings. We worship God in a big way. We demonstrate great faith in him. And that sets the stage for a mighty move of God, where the people are eating, drinking, rejoicing, full of supernatural gladness. Some people can use a little supernatural gladness. Yeah, that's why people snort stuff. They're looking for some extra gladness. But it ends up to be madness. But thank God, you and I, we can have supernatural gladness. Right? We can have supernatural gladness. I'm so glad we're delivered out of that, aren't you? Hallelujah.
Who would have thought an offering can do so much? We can have so much fun in giving. Somebody say, giving is fun. Say it even if you don't even really got it yet. Say it anyhow. Say, giving is fun. Hallelujah. You say it until you get it, man. We've got to renew our mind. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Amen. And that would mean that giving is fun if you're going to be cheerful. Man, great gladness, rejoicing, praise God. Verse 23, then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and what? Prospered. And all Israel obeyed him. Praise God. It's one of the reasons why we bring offerings to the Lord. It's to make the way for prosperity to come into our life. Praise God. As we sow, we reap. We reap many times more than what we sowed. That's prosperity. And God wants us to prosper in every area of life. Again, repeating 1 John, he says, beloved, I wish above all things thou prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. That's 3 John, isn't it? 3 John 2. That you prosper. That you prosper in your soul and in every other area of your life. God wants us to experience prosperity in every area of our life. And it's all going to start right here in our giving. As we're able to give more, it's going to affect our soul, and God, it's going to open the way for God to be able to do a great work in our life of prosperous. And then we're all going to die like King David. How many want to die like King David? But don't say it until you see how he died. Verse 28. So he, David, died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. That's a good way to go out, isn't it? Praise God. We're going to die at a good old age. Say, I'm going to die at a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Say it again. Say, I'm going to die. Aren't you glad you don't have to be afraid of dying? Amen. Thank God we're not checking out tomorrow. Unless you want to. But don't go yet until you're rich. Hallelujah. Have been full of days and greatly honored. That's how we're going out of here. And some devil of disease or infirmity is not going to come in here and tell us when we're going. Why? Because we're in charge. Money don't control us. Death doesn't control us. Devils don't control us. Nothing in this world controls us. We're under the control and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are submitted to him gladly as we obey him and follow his way of doing things. And we are growing in our offerings to the Lord. So offerings are to be important to us. Offerings are for expressing our affection to the Lord. Offerings reveal our consecration to the Lord. Offerings are a way to get out in front and help lead people God's way. Offerings are a way to do a work for God and be used by God. Offerings will raise our praise, our rejoicing level. Offerings show loyalty to the Lord. We missed that in verse 9. Offerings are the way we give thanks to, one of the ways we give thanks to the Lord. Offerings tap into the grace of God. Offerings show that you don't put your hope in this world. Offerings say that all that I have is from God. Offering willingly keeps your heart upright in the sight of God. Offerings keep us steadfastly fixed on the Lord. They keep us from backsliding. Offerings build God's house. Offerings worship and bless the Lord. Offerings make the way for times of refreshing and national revival. Offerings make the way for prosperity. Come on, there's a lot of reasons why we bring offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank him right now with our praise.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.